Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and always it's a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. I thank God for allowing me this opportunity to go before his people to explore the Word of God. As you guys know, we have been studying the books of the Bible. We started off in Genesis, and now we're in the books of the prophets. The books of the prophets ends the Old Testament. So we have so many more prophets to explore, and then that will end the Old Testament. The Old Testament ends with the prophets. And I want you to know the title of our lesson tonight is God Uses Who He Wants for What He Wants, When He Wants, because He is God. God always wants to let us know that it's not about your education or your status, your job, or your degrees. It's not about your financial status, because God created each and every one of us for his glory. And he have a design purpose for all of our lives. There is no one or nothing that has ever been created that does not have a purpose. It is our job to listen to what God is telling us and follow where God is leading us and do what God is asking us to do. Sometime in our lives, we are so busy doing this and that, and God is speaking to us through his spirit, but we don't know his voice. But I want you to know that God uses who he wants for what he wants, when he wants to, because he is God. We are now in the book of Amos. Amos, of course, was a prophet. And Amos was a minor prophet. You know, as we kept talking during the course of studying, that there were 17 prophets. They had 5 that they considered major and 12 that they considered minor. But what made a prophet major or minor, it wasn't because of status or anything like that. It was determined by the amount of writing that they did. So as always, I'm going to play a song, and I think the song is appropriate for the night, because the name of the song is My God is Awesome. Once we get through with the song, we're going to come back, go to the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button and I'll open the mic and you could pray over the airwaves. So listen to the song, be prayerful for the lesson. If you don't have your Bible, I suggest you get it and we'll go from there. Be blessed.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship psalm that says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever
he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice.
My God is an awesome God, and that song is really true. God can do anything but fail, and God wants you to know that he's holding you in the palms of his hand, and he will never let go. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. But, you know, the world that we live in and the times that we are in, you know, everybody need to get closer to God and have a personal relationship with God. Because if you say you believe in God, and, you know, you're saying that with your mouth, but you would have to show it by actions. Many times in the Old Testament, the people was doing anything and everything that seemed right in their eyes. And when it got time for sacrifice and praise, they always showed up. God said, you know, you're not, you know, that's an outward show. You know, and God's going to ask us one day, or really tell us, what have you done for me lately? I want to let each and every one of us, and I say us, because I always include myself, you are not afforded the privilege to handle God any kind of way. You know, you're not afforded the privilege to show up when it fits in your agenda. You're not afforded the privilege to do the things that God has asked us to do and don't do them. And yet you say you love him. And yet you say you need him. But just like we need God, God needs things from us. I'm not talking about your salvation, because it's not predicated on how good you are, how much stuff you did, because your salvation is a gift. It's a gift from God. And God did it that way because he didn't want any man to boast and be able to say that they saved themselves. But we are not doing good so that we could be saved. Because once we are saved, we are saved. Grace is a gift given by God, by the blood of his son. God gave his greatest treasures for us. But we don't do good to be saved. We should be doing good once we come into the truth and the knowledge of all that God has done and is doing in our lives. How can you want to receive the things of God and never give anything back to God? That's a one-sided relationship. And God say, I know about your lip service. He said, but love is what love does. God wants us to do what he asks us to do. And I throw that in. So some more callers came through, and I want you to know that it's time to pray. If anybody would like to pray, press the one button, and I'll open the mic. And we could go through to the throne of grace, and then we could get in a lesson. Since no one pressed the button, I'll just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, dear Heavenly Father, we call upon your name because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for allowing us to gather here week after week, month after month, year after year, as we explore your word together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless everyone that has called in. And Lord, I pray that you give them the desires of your heart. Lord, if there's anyone sick, anyone grieving from a death of their loved ones, dear God, I'm asking that you look down upon them. I'm asking a special prayer for Claudel Riddle. She lost a son on the other day, dear God. And another lady, Sister Catherine Brown. God, she has an illness that they don't think that they could do anything for. But Lord, you told us to make our petition known. Not that we can trump your will, but you told us to bring our requests. And, Lord, even after we bring our requests, I have to tell you, God, let your will be done. But, Lord, we're going to pray for the people, and we're gonna stand together, dear God, and we're going to touch and agree. And you're going to have your way, dear God. All these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen. And thank God. Well, we're in the book of Amos tonight. I pray that once we get through with this lesson, the prophets that we done talked to up until this time, you could add Amos to your list. You know, when I started doing the books in the Bible, I know each week when I do 1 hour service that I cannot expound on everything in the chapter. But I hope it pricked your interest enough where you went back and studied and read a little more, or you understand what the ministry of prophets was all about and why God used the different men, to bring the word and to write it in the Bible. You know, everything in the Bible that is written, even though God gave the message to Amos for Israel, that same message has something in it for you. So I'm going to go ahead and do the background. The title is God Uses Who He Wants for What He Wants, When He Wants, Because He Is God. We are coming from Amos, the 7th chapter, the 10th through the 17th verse. And I did a little background, and I want you to get acquainted with him personally, because to get acquainted with Amos is to love him and to understand his prophecy better. You see, Amos presented God as a ruler of the world and declared that all nations are responsible to him. You're going to see why he's, you know, going to say that. We will find that he was born in Judah. Now, you know, there's two kingdoms. God had a chosen nation, and because of disobedience, and after King Solomon died, God split the nations. So there's a nation of Judah, and really only two of the 12 tribes went there, which was Judah and Benjamin. And the other 10 tribes stayed in Israel. All right? And then when you see Jerusalem was like, you could say, the state, and then these were cities in Jerusalem, which God promised to Abraham was the promised land, and then Jerusalem was developed. And this is, Judah is a part in Jerusalem, and so is Israel a part in Jerusalem. You see, we will find that he was born in Judah, the southern kingdom. So whenever you read in the Bible and they talking about the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, that's because the tribes were split. It became two nations instead of one unified nation. So they say we find that he was born in Judah, the southern kingdom, but he was to prophesy to the northern kingdom. And that's a little strange because, you know, he lived in the southern kingdom, and God told him to go to the northern kingdom. So you could imagine he was going to have a lot of opposition because he was going to a place he wasn't even from and say things to people that he don't normally be with. You see, his message was delivered in Bethel at the king's chapel. It was most unusual for a man to have come from such a country, an out-of-the-way place, with a message of judgment against all of the surrounding nations. Y'all got to keep in mind when you visit the books of prophecy, God is giving prophecy to his prophets, and he usually talk about the disobedience that they're doing, and they turning their back against him, and they dealing in idolatry, and they doing anything and everything they want to do because they think they can do it that way, and it displeases God. And when God get ready, because he does not do anything without giving his people a warning or tell them what he's going to do, he sends a prophet. The other thing I want you to keep in mind when you think about prophecy and judgment and all of that. Every book of prophecy talked about judgment. It talks about being captured. It talks about bondage because, you know, God allowed another nation to come in and subdue them. But before the book closes, there's always a message of hope. You see, Amos had a global view of life and of God's program for the entire world, not only for the present, but also for the future. All of this makes this man a most remarkable prophet. You see, Amos can see beneath Israel external prosperity and power. See, they was doing real good at this time. Intentionally, the nation, internally, the nation was corrupt to the core. You see? But, you know, on the outside, they looked good, good, good. But they were corrupt. You see, the sins for which Amos chastened the people was extensive. They neglected God's word. They had idolatry. They became pagan worshipers. They were full of greed, corrupt leadership, and oppression of the poor. That sounds like today, huh? And when we talk about idolatry and worshiping idols, you know, anything could be your idol, money, your looks, your car, your house, because you do more, you spend more time and think more on whatever you think the most on and spend the most time and spend the most of your money on, that becomes your God. Amos began to pronounce a judgment upon the surrounding nation, then upon his own nation of Judah, and finally the harshest judgment is given to Israel. So if you read the book of Amos, it's only eight chapters. He talks about the judgment for Israel, and then he talked, God said, you know, Judah, you're not going to be left out because you're not as bad as Israel, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And then the other company, the other nations that wasn't his chosen nation, the southern or another northern kingdom, God spoke judgment on them for what they had done to his people. Now, even though his people wasn't doing what they're supposed to do, you know, it's just like a mother. You know, she may know her child is not doing what they're supposed to do, but it's her child. And she could chastise them, but she don't want nobody else chastising them. And that's how God was, you know, even though they was messing up and the people was taking them, when they start doing them so bad, God stepped in and he said, hold it, they're mine. And he had judgment upon them. The book of Amos ends with a glorious promise for the future. Like I told you, all books end with promise. You see, some will think we are just, sometimes we think we are just a, okay, I'm just a whatever. You know, Amos, you're going to see what he say. I'm just a herdsman. I just fool with the sycamore tree. You know, and sometime in our life, I'm just usher. I'm just somebody go to church but sit on the bench. I'm just. You see, we are just a salesman. We could be a farmer, a housewife. Amos would be considered a just a. He wasn't a prophet or a priest or the son of either. He was just a shepherd, a small businessman in Judah. Who gonna listen to me? But instead of making excuses, even though Amos thought they may not listen to him, but he still knew he had a job to do. He obeyed and became God's powerful voice for change. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight that God has used a Jesse. I'm just a, such as shepherds, carpenters, and fishermen. Y'all know who he's talking about. Shepherd was David. Carpenter was Joseph. Fisherman was Peter. All through the Bible. Whatever you are in life, God can use you. Amos wasn't much. He was a just a, and he believed it. But I came to tell you, he was just a servant for God. And it's good to be God's just a. So if you out there figuring God can't use you, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you know the issues in your life and maybe some things you haven't gotten rid of that you know shouldn't be in your life, you just keep on doing the best you can. Because remember, God uses who he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for what he wants. And you got to remember, God came looking for you. Amos wasn't looking for God. God came looking for Amos. Hallelujah. See, God has a master plan, and it was all formulated before the foundation of the world, and it included each and every one of us. If y'all remember when we did the book on Jeremiah, and God went to Jeremiah and called Jeremiah, just as Amos say, I'm just a. Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. And God told him, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Hallelujah. He said, before thou even camest out the womb, I sanctified you. And then I ordained you to be a prophet. That lets us know. I think that's Jeremiah 1 and 5, if you want to look it up. That lets us know that what God has for us to do and the purpose he has designed for us is not predicated on us, but his will. So if we go into the scriptures, we're in the Amos, we're in the 7th chapter, and I'm going to read the 10th through the 13th verse, and it reads as follows. Then Amasah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos had conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. He's talking about the land, talking about the people in the land. He said, in 11 say, For thus Amos said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away in captivity out of their own land. And 12, also Amasah said unto Amos, go thee seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesize then. 13, but prophesize not again any more at Bethel, for it's the king's chapter, and it's the king's court. See, you got to realize the stuff that I'm doing now. It was a conversation between Amos and Amasah. These two was having a conversation, because Amos had came and prophesied there, and he didn't like it at all. You see, Amos was a chief priest, and Amos, a minor prophet of God. Then Amos, the priest of Bethel, sent to the king of Israel. You see, this Amos was a wicked man because he identified as a priest in Bethel. And you see, at that time, Bethel was the center of Israel's idolatry worship. He sent a message to the king of Israel, who was successful by worldly standards. You see, you remember I told you Bethel was doing good at that time. And they wanted to keep it that way. You remember on the lessons we did the other day, the priest, like this is a priest. The priest was condoling sin to some degree, because when a person sinned, they had to come and make a sacrifice. And everything that you sacrifice, it was meat, it was corn, it was whatever it was grain. The priest took a portion of it. So in their eyes, because of their greed, they maybe not condone the sin, but they didn't teach and preach against the sin. They had a soft virgin. You know, they wanted to talk to just the itching ears. In other words, saying what the people wanted to hear. So this king, this priest, wanted to stop Amos at any cost. They say he was not concerned about hearing God's message. He was only worried about his own position. Maintaining his position was more important than listening to the truth. You see, the priest of Bethel was really asking the king of Israel to stop Amos in his track because he didn't want to hear what he was saying. He told the king that Amos prophesied that the king shall die and Israel will be taken into captivity and will be taken from their own land. You see, he wanted to make it juicy, which Amos did prophesize it. But he went to the king, and I could just see him, you know how people do. Yeah, and he say, you going to die, you know, and we going to be held captive and taken, you know. So he juiced it up. Amaziah told Amos, you don't live here, go. He told him, won't you, man, just go home where you belong and leave us alone. He even went so far, tell the people where you live, how to live, and what thus said the Lord. You see, Amaziah was living large and didn't want anyone or anything to disturb it. So you see, this part that I just read was what the priest, you know, was about the priest talking, and he went to the king to try to get Amos, you know, shut up. You see, Amos was God's man giving God's message. Simply because Israel was being religious on the surface did not guarantee that God would not judge their sins. Do you know any people that's religious on the surface? They could quote scriptures, they could do all kind of things. And yet, you know, if you dig deep or be around them enough, it don't seem like they love God at all. Because of their rejection of God's law, they were deceitful and robbers and violence and oppression of the poor. God say, I will hate and despise your feast days. Anybody who know anything about the Bible, they had a lot of ceremonials and feasts that God told the people, his promised nation, to keep doing this, like the Passover and the weeks of the wheat and things like that. But look what God said when he said, I hate and despise your feast days. And look what he said, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. They was going and sacrificed religiously for their sins. So I'm sure they was going many more times than he used to when he was trying to follow God. And the priests were getting fat pockets. They was getting so much from the sacrifices that they began to sell some of the stuff they had. And look what God said. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, but let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. I just read you that out of the same book of Amos. It was in the 5th and the 21st to the 24th verse. And I just wanted to inject that to see how God was talking to them and dealing with them because of their sin. And that let you know that God, you can't fool God and nothing taken by surprise. He said, I don't even stop. You can stop your music because to me it just sound like noise. God was saying, you're talking loud and saying nothing. You are doing these things with your hand, but not with your heart. It was a day of false peace. Israel was trying to ignore it, and they kept talking about peace. They was talking to the people. You know how sometimes President Trump come on and say everything is well and everything is good? It's almost like they ignoring what is really the truth and ignoring what is really the situation right now in our nation. You know, it's almost sort of like the same thing, but the Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. You see, it said Israel was trying to ignore it, and they kept talking about peace. But Amos said, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful nation, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. Amos 9 and 8. You see, his message was not a popular message. He warned that it was God's intentions to punish sin. And that's also in each and every one of our lives. Jesus died for our sins, and yes, he took away the sins of the world, and yes, he took away our past sins, our present, and even the ones that we commit. And I'm not giving you a license to do it any kind of way you want, but I want you to know, yes, Jesus took away your sins, but you're going to have to stand up and answer for your consequences. And if we read the next verses, I'm reading verse 14 and 15. And it said, now that was the priest talking, you know, about Amos go home. He went to the king. He went rat on him, and he did all of that. That was in that thing. So this is now Amos answering the priest. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. 15, and the Lord took me as I followed my flock, and God said unto me, go prophesy unto the people of Israel. What you see here? Amos said, I wasn't looking to be a prophet. I wasn't going out just hunting behind God for a position. He said God came me while I was tending my flock and picking my fruit and minding my business. You see, every prophet has a manner and a style, particularly his own. Although God speaks through them, all. He speaks through them all. Yet they lose not their individuality or originality of character. That's just like you. That's just like me. You know, sometimes people call certain people, and when he call them, they become something else. You see why God has so many preachers and teachers and all of these people from all these walks of life? Because all of them bring a little flavor to the table. You see, and if somebody is down to earth with the word of God, you know, they could capture some people that likes down to earth. But if everybody was the same way and saying or and or and you can't understand it, it would be a holy mess. But they say God uses them all, but he didn't let them lose their originality of character. It is true that all utter the word of God, but each voice has its own special cry, so that though God seem always the center of the message. And they are talking and lifting God up. But I want to let you know, the man is not lost. Hallelujah. Amos tells us that he was a herdsman, an unusual word to be used here, which means that he was a herdsman of a particular breed of desert sheep. You know, these sheep he was herding was the ones, you saw them sheep before that have that long, thick hair. And they had it because of the cold in the winter. Now look how awesome God is. Those sheep was going to stay where it live and inhabit where it was cold. So God gave them longer and thicker hair. God is awesome. God is awesome. He also said that he was a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. You see, this was a fruit like a small fig that grew on shrubs, trees, but they was down in the desert. So you can see then that Amos had to travel for his job. He was a migrant worker, if you please. His sheep and his sycamore pushed Amos far out into the desert. He was truly a farmer. You see, Amos was a country boy, and he was rustic. He was, you know, would have been called in these days an old country preacher. He appeared to be a clumsy bumpkin who they said was all thumbs among the polished preachers in Bethel. But don't look at Amos and visualize his appearance and stuff, and you might laugh at Amos. I have to tell you this. He was one of God's greatest men, and he was a remarkable individual. Amos said, I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for me, and the Lord told me to follow the flock. And even though I lived in the south, go preach in the north. Amos understood that God is in control of all the nations. So if he tell me to go to east, I'm going to go east. If he tell me to go west, I'm going to go west. See, some of us believe we can't do nothing outside of the boundaries, and this is a good example to show you. If God told you to go to Texas to spread the word, you go to Texas. You see, some people are so stuck in their comfort zones, they lose their blessings. But Amos, you know, lived in the south, and he had to go preach in the north. You see, God sent Amos all the way from down there in the desert and in the wilderness to Bethel, one of the capital cities in the northern kingdom, where he found city folks living. God called him to preach. God gave him a message, and God sent him to Bethel. And as I said before, God uses who he wants. For what he want, when he want, because he's God. And those of you out there who are listening and you go to Sunday school, the Sunday school lesson is the same, it's coming from the book of Amos, the 7th chapter. In fact, the same verses, and many Christian Sunday schools all use the same text. So if you're a Sunday school scholar, and you go to Sunday school, you'll probably visit this lesson on Sunday. God is an awesome God. It just happened that Amos fell on this Wednesday, and I teach Sunday school at my church, but I only teach on the 5th Sunday, and when I teach Sunday school on the 5th Sunday, then the lesson was Amos, and it just happened to be tonight, Wednesday. So I've been studying and preparing for a twofold to get before my church on Sunday and to come before you on tonight. And I thought that was so cool. God does all kind of things in my life. And it's not because I'm so good, but it's because he's so good. And he have a will for all of our lives, and it's not predicated on us. And if I read 16 through 18, he's the last of the printed scripture we're going to look at tonight. They say, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou said, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Israel. God said, his words, don't prophesy not against Israel, and drop not a word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus said the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in a city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity. This is Amos. He said, this is really God. See, they said a word of the Lord, thou sayest. You see, now God is answering Elazar, who was talking, and God is doing it through Amos. So it's Amos talking, but God flipped the script on him. God does that all the time. God is really saying, you say. See, he said, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Israel. He's telling God that that was the prophecy that Amos was talking about. So God now flips it and say, you say it, prophesy not against Israel in the house of Isaac. God's words to Amazar is that the calamity he wanted to silence Amos about would surely come to pass. God said, just like you said it, just like Amos told you, and you repeating it, he said, that's what's going to happen. That's what God is saying now. The priest talked and Amos talked, and now God is finalizing this up. So these three, you know, it's three different speakers in this conversation. God just told him, he said, you say prophesy not against Israel and the house of Isaac. God's word to the priest is that the calamity he wanted to silence Amos about would certainly come to pass. And then God goes on to say, your wives shall be an harlot, and your sons and your daughters shall die by the sword. God told him, your children will die. And you see what God was saying, and it is prophecy, and it did come true. You see what happened after they kept sinning and sinning. You got to remember, you remember you had the captivity of from the Babylonians, and you remember when the Assyrians captured them? Because when they were captured and they came in and they fought, they killed a lot of people. And God was telling the priest, your sons and daughters going to die when that siege take place. So they really did die. And because the priest was killed and his wife was left and the children were gone, she had such a hard time till maybe she hit the streets as a harlot. And sometime when you see the word harlot, it may not have been not just the word harlot, but other words, it may not have been that she became a prostitute. But her character had went down so bad, so it would be like a character of a dislikable life. You see, you know, plenty of times in the Bible, there really was a lady named Jezebel. She was married to, I think, a king. And how did I figure this out? Plenty books in the Bible when I would read, you know, later on after they was dead and, you know, and everything like that, they would say to a woman, you Jezebel. And I thought it was still talking about the man wife. But the word Jezebel represented a certain kind of woman, a harlot represent a certain kind of woman. So when God speaks, he speaks with words that may not be what the word mean, but the character of the word may be what the person has become. Hallelujah. And as I close tonight, he said, Israel shall surely be led away from his own land. You know Israel was taken captive by the Babylonians for 70 years, and it was captured by the Assyrians. So it's a prophecy that did come true. See, when he started off, he said, you are part of a conspiracy against us. And God, he uses his own words that he repeated to the king that Amos had said, and God at this point said, yeah, everything that Amos say is real. Just like you said, that he said, I'm saying that it is. You see, Amos is bold enough to speak for God and to tell Amaziah and everyone else that Israel impeding captivity is true indeed. This was a difficult word in a most difficult circumstances, but Amos was faithful to deliver. You have to think about a little bit that Amos was, you know, not in his place, his hometown. And they ain't say that he took an army with him. So he's just a man who was tending his sheep. Now he go to speak to his people. And everything he telling them, they don't want to hear. And just like all the other prophets and the men and women of God that, you know, had a message that people didn't want to hear, they always conspired to get rid of them. And most of the men and women that, you know, went and shared the word of God with boldness and wasn't afraid to speak for God and about God, you know, most of them was martyred. And Amos was pushed in an unfamiliar settings. You know, it wasn't his lifestyle, the way they lived. But yet he went, and he allowed God to use him. He held on to the confession of his faith. He heard, he obeyed, and he went. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if you want to know some more about Amos, like I say, it's only 8 chapters, and we done did one. So if you want to read, finish the rest of the book of Amos, it's only 7 chapters left for you to do. So next week we'll be talking about another prophet. Let me see who it's going to be. I think it's Joel. I hope that y'all is understanding prophets just a little bit more. That when you're in conversation with somebody or you go to a church and the preacher is preaching and he say, we're going to talk about Amos tonight, that you could feel good in your spirit because you got something. You're working with a little something. And that's how you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. The next chapter is Obadiah. The next book is Obadiah. So we'll be doing Obadiah. So is there any comments, questions, or concern, any prayer requests, any words of encouragement? Anybody want to expound on the lesson if they read it and they want to say something that, you know, God gave to them and they could share it with the people? We got a little time. If anybody would like to say anything, caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. I enjoyed your lesson tonight. Thank you so much. But I just wanted to make a comment when you were opening. You said, what have we done lately for Jesus or for God? And, you know, if you really sit down and think about what you've done in the last 24 hours, I'm shameful. You know, I really am. You know, I know you try to do the nice things, you know, smiling at somebody at the store, but to actually physically do something for the Lord, I think I fell off, you know. So that, to me, that's just something I'm going to take with me this week and try to do the best I can with it. So I thank you.
And that's all God asks.
Yes.
That's all God asks. When we come into the knowledge, we come in, you know, like they say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. When we get a little ouch, no matter how small it is, it's like a little discomfort. So if you know, so you want to be comfortable. And to achieve that, you're going to make a change. And that's all God asks of us. So you really right where he wants you, Sister Diane. And I pray that God keeps speaking to your heart and soften it for his service.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm still lifting your son and your grandson up in prayer.
And I'm still with your family, too.
Well, I was asking everybody to pray for my son. He's going to court soon. So we're just going to pray that God will be done.
Let me know. Really close, and I'm going to try to go deep, deep in prayer for you.
I sure appreciate that because we need it. And I'm going to let you know when he go to court.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Diane. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Ask any prayer requests? Expound on the lesson? Anybody want to talk about the goodness of Jesus? Anybody have a testimony? Has God did anything for you lately? You know, earlier I said, what have you done for God lately? I'm asking now, what have God done for you lately? And when we say what God does for us, it could inspire the next person to believe that he could also do it for them. But if that's no comments, questions, or concern, I'm going to do a benediction, and we're going to end for the night. It's 9:28. And if there's nobody want to say anything, I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction because this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I think everybody should take heed to it. The scripture is written by Peter. It's in 2 Peter 3:18. And Peter asks that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ. You know, I say that scripture so much. You know, when you think about grace, God say, my grace is sufficient. God has grace all in and over our lives. But if we're not in the Word of God to realize this, we can't embrace grace to the fullest in our lives. So when he say grow in grace, have you grown in grace lately? Did you know you could grow in grace? Did you know that grace grows? Hallelujah. But the scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you guys agree, you can say amen. And then one time, you know, in the past I told you, I don't care where you're at, if you're in church, if you in wherever and somebody's bringing the word of God or whatever, you know, or something, if you don't agree with it, and it does not line up with the word of God, do not say amen. Because when you say amen, you say you agreeing. And if you don't know what you're agreeing to, it's best not to say anything. That's our lesson for tonight. I want you to know that God loves you, and I do too. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back next week, same time, same station. We're coming out of the book of Obadiah next week. Be prayerful for the Bible study. Thank God for allowing us to come together each week. Grow. And with that being said, I'm going to say to each and every one of you, be safe in this coming week. And if you can't be safe, be careful. And I pray that God's hands are upon you till we meet again. In Jesus' name, good night.